we can reconvene.
I can call the OR meeting to order?
Yes.
Yes.
I call the meeting to order at this time. If the secretary, Danielle, will you take the roll for us, please?
Yes. We have Commissioner Bray.
Yes.
Okay. Chairperson Gorsica.
Yes.
Commissioner Wassily.
Yes.
And Commissioner White.
Present.
Okay, and for the record, we have a quorum of four, and Commissioner D'Angelo and Commissioner Palmisano are not present.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, Chairperson. For the record, we are reconvening the meeting of May, is that May 4th? That we temporarily suspended and held open for the purpose of getting this additional information related to this ZBA item.
Point of order, this is Homer. Commissioner Bray chaired that meeting, and since this is a continuation of that meeting, wouldn't Vice Chairperson Bray continue as chairperson for this meeting of records?
I don't think that that's necessary. I think it would be the same sort of thing as if we had opened a meeting and then the chairperson, you know, showed up 15 minutes late and picked up, two items into the agenda or whatever. So I think we're good as is.
Sounds good to me.
It's okay by me. Okay. Steve, would you like to start?
Okay, so what we're back here for is we're looking at modifications to ZBA applications 4857 and 4858, which was a special exception and a variance for the Jerome home. It was originally granted in October of 2019. And what's happening now, and I think that they're either Tom or Noah will go into some detail about the proposed addition that we approved at that time. At that time, they showed a larger parking area with underground stormwater storage. In doing the more detailed engineering plans, they decided that they wanted to move away from the underground detention and create a detention swale at the front of the lot. That was resulted in the reduction of the number of parking spaces and what we consider to be a significant enough change that it should go back to the Zoning Board of Appeals for their blessing. So that's how we got to this point. I guess that at the last meeting at May 4th when we opened this, there were some questions that the commission had that we felt that the applicant should have the opportunity to address directly. They, of course, would be advocating for a favorable recommendation going to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
Okay. So this is Attorney Mike Carrier, and thanks, Steve, for the overview. And with your permission, Chairperson, I'd like to have Noah Morgan explain why we saw the need to make the changes that we're requesting to the plan.
Okay, please go ahead.
Okay. Noah, if you could introduce yourself and then go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. My name is Noah Morgan. I'm a project manager with Hartford Healthcare, and I'm acting as the owner's representative for this project. Thank you all very much for convening this evening. We'll have to give a brief overview of why we decided to go with an above ground system as opposed to the previously submitted below ground system. This project really started in its initiation a little bit over a year ago. There was an internal investigation done on the finance side for the Jerome Home team, and from that investigation, they were able to determine kind of an upper limit for what they could spend to make the project work financially. and an architect, Bechtel, Frank, and Erickson, which Representative Jesse Whitfield is here with us today on the call. They were instructed to design such an addition to the facility in accordance with the general programming that the Jerome Holm executive team had decided on to meet that number. Anything above that limit would be no longer make a business case. It wouldn't be feasible to construct and still have a payback period within reason. The process of determining, well, really designing a facility to a number is more of an art than it is a science, and it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of determination, and BFE did a tremendous job with their design. When we submitted the initial design in October, really September of last year, the design was somewhere around 75% to 85% ready. It was ready enough that we could finally get it to the point where we could have it assessed. We were in a kind of a design-build situation with a contractor at the time. And it was at that point we were able to finally have some real concrete numbers put to. And it wasn't until after we had received the ZBA approval for the below-ground system that it was found out that our current design, as proposed or at bid by that contractor, was significantly higher than the maximum number that Jerome Holm could afford. That led us to kind of a little bit of a whirlwind of a couple of different items, some being some value engineering items in pulling back some design features, maybe reining in some design features, both in on the interior and the exterior, as well as deciding to go out to competitively bid the project. We liked the programming. We didn't want to sacrifice the programming because it's what the Jerome Holm board had decided was prudent for the facility. And we really felt, and BFE also very strongly felt, that what they had provided with some minor modifications would meet the maximum number that we had capable of financing. After some deliberation, it was determined that, you know, an above-ground system would potentially be a large savings in, if we decided to go with that value engineering item. So we pulled the trigger on that plan and decided to pursue an above-ground system, of course, noting that we were going to make sure to provide all adequate parking, which our current design still does provide adequate parking. And we had Malone and McBroom and BFE work towards creating that above-ground system. The results of this above-ground system ended up being a savings of about $154,000.
Wow.
So the, I believe, 19 parking spaces that we removed to create the above-ground swale and detention pond was roughly about $8,100 per space in savings. And looking at that and having the alternatives to maybe go back to that if we wanted to add cost, it just seemed unfeasible on a couple of different levels, one being that it would put us over the maximum dollar value that we had for the project, the second one being just the overall price per space to add back. We felt that the above ground system, and still feel that the above ground system is an adequate way to detain and storage of stormwater. And we are really thankful to our subs, design consultants, and BFE for putting together such a great system, and both designing both systems for us, actually. And that really is the impetus for the design. We felt that we weren't going to sacrifice any performance, and we were going to be able to meet our financial obligations for the project by going with the above-ground system versus the underground.
Yeah, and can I add, too, it appears to me, and I'm no engineer, but that the actual, where the location of the above-ground system is, what it the effect that it has is it pulls the parking lot further into the site, and so that there's more green space at the corner of Black Rock and Hamilton.
Yeah,
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's Tom Daly. At a minute, the limit of parking was pulled back, I believe, at least 20 feet from what it was before.
Okay. And I imagine the big concern is, well, what about this, this above ground system, and how is it going to look, and how is it going to be maintained? We have one over on Hart Street for our Walnut Hill Park that I know is very large, and I personally haven't seen water sit in that basin since they constructed it probably well over 10 years ago. I don't know about the rest of the committee members there, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about on Hart Street. As you're going down Hart, you can see it on the right where Walnut Hill Park is. And but this is obviously a lot smaller than that. But I guess would that be Mike or Jesse who would speak to the actual system?
I think it would be Tom Daly, and then I'd ask. Let me start, and then I'd like to then pivot over to Mike Doherty, who is our landscape architect who worked with me on this project, because I think that's important.
Pardon me, this is Steve, and I just want to interject for the, I believe that all the commissioners should have a copy of the plan that we forwarded to them, and it's page C6 and sheet C3 of your plans that you can refer to. I'm hoping that all the commissioners have these in front of them.
Okay. So once again, for the record, Tom Daly. As Noah indicated, that frankly, I don't have a project that I'm working on now that there is not a conversation about value engineering. Frankly, every project we have that we are working on, cost is a major consideration, and we always work as a design team to try to get back to the cost to make the project successful. And when Jesse and Noah approached us with this, we threw out some alternates, and if you may recall, if you looked at the original parking data, we were well over parked by the zoning code. And that was some initial goals, but as Noah indicated, it's not only just adding the basin, but it was also eliminating approximately, 19 to 20 parking spaces, which also had an added cost. So the two of them worked together hand in hand, and just by reducing the pavement, we also were able to, make the stormwater requirements smaller too. So. And probably we would say that majority of our projects we do design above ground basins, and probably two thirds have above ground basins, and then one third have below ground basins, below ground chambers. The below ground chambers are a premium cost just because they're a proprietary chamber, and they take a lot of effort to put them in and cost to do that. If you know, is Jerome Home already has an above ground basin. They have one directly located to the left of the driveway, or it would be to the, I guess that would be the southwest. There's a basin in front of Jerome Home that exists. That one's a much deeper basin than this one would be. This one is kind of nestled into the slope. And what we worked with, and so along the edge of pavement, we'll have a timber guide rail to prevent both cars from going down the slope. It also provides an additional barrier. And it's a basin that is designed for both water quality and quantity. So you're typically, I think Michael indicated, these basins tend to be extremely conservative in nature. So many times you don't see the basins full. They're not intended to be filled up on every rainstorm. They're really for the more extreme storms. So this will be designed for the 100-year storm event, and that's the flow. That's the peak. But it will be designed for the smaller storms. It's not expected to be. It's not intended to be a wet like a pond. There will be some periods where there is some water at the bottom of the basin. but we've put some designs in place where we put some small stone wedges at the bottom of the basin to get the basin to drain quicker into the natural soils, and that was understanding the environment. And then even the commission members made some comments about the neighborhood and then kids. So we thought in this location there's an opportunity to get that water infiltrated quicker, just so it drains quicker. One thing that you'll notice on the basin that exists out to Jerome home out there today, that's your traditional basin. There's no landscaping. It's just kind of a grass line basin. This is dramatically different. Two things. There is a buffer requirement that was required on the corner as we're adjacent to residential. And then so while we did provide value engineering and we reduced the pavement and we went to underground, there was no reduction in the landscaping. So as you can see, and Mike will go into it a little bit more, this is about a robust landscaping plan, as you'll see, for a detention basin. So the intent is not for this to look like a, you know, let's be frank, an engineered basin as you go down Black Rock. It's really designed to be an aesthetic, almost a large rain garden. So Mike, on if you go on to it would be C3.0, you can see Mike has put together a very robust landscaping plan that frankly complements the overall Jerome Home campus. But Mike, if you can take over from there and kind of talk about what the aesthetic would be as people in the neighborhood would see as they are standing on Black Rabbit Avenue.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. For the record, Mike Doherty, landscape architect with Milan Metzgerman. So I don't know if everyone also got a chance to see the response letter that we submitted. In a number of those questions, I tried to illustrate the aesthetic that we are going for in terms of the landscaping of the basin and the berm along Black Rock and Hamilton Street. As Tom alluded to, we really were thinking of this as a rain garden, which I'm sure is a term you are all familiar with. In much more residential settings, a lot of people are installing rain gardens in their front lawns, on the sides of their driveways, in a much smaller kind of scale than this, but the intent of both are the same, and it's to provide habitat as well as water quality and water storage. So that was our vision in terms of the basin itself, but also to Tom's point, we also noted that obviously this is the front door to Jerome Home with the new building addition, the new circular drive. This was an opportunity to create a fairly unique gateway feature onto the site for drivers as well as pedestrians on each of the streets. And so we really wanted the new kind of welcoming to this project to really have a kind of a wow factor, but also continue to function in the sense of the engineering and everything that it needs to do in terms of the drainage. The overall landscape vision of this entire project was to blend with the campus of Jerome Home, which is meticulously maintained to this day. But we did want to kind of celebrate the fact that Jerome Home was putting into this substantial investment. And so we were looking to this front door to really highlight their quality of care and the investment in the neighborhood. So the basin and berm are really two separate things that work together. They create two different habitats for plantings to occur in. So the basin itself, that is lower and depressed, which will hold water at times, will have species that are native to the northeast and could take periods of complete inundation of water. But when that water quickly is removed within 24 hours or so and then dries out, they can also withstand long periods of drought. So those are shrub species, as well as perennial grasses and flowering perennials. The basin itself will also have a seed mix put down just to allow for an establishment so that it doesn't need or require mulching. Obviously, as the water comes into the basin, the mulch would float. So while originally established, these plants will have some mulch around them. The idea is that the seed mix will take over, fill in the gaps, and have a complete coverage over the basin itself, so we're not getting erosion and soil moving, sediment moving around either. So that seed mix also contains native forbs, perennials, grasses, and really creates quite a diverse habitat within that basin bottom that allows butterflies, bees, different pollinators to come into that zone and really kind of start to infuse the site with a new energy. The berm is an expansion of that feeling of natives. We did have a few plants that are non-native to the Northeast, but are hardy and low maintenance, that we wanted to really start to pull the aesthetic of a more traditional, almost foundation planting of a long house, but keep in mind that we're kind of fading off of this naturalized basin bottom, so more of a dry meadow feel along the facade of Black Rock and Hamilton. As it rolls down from the top of the berm towards the streets, you have a layering effect of other shrubs that start to kind of screen and keep people kind of out of the basin. That rolls down in elevation with flowering perennials and ornamental grasses to give you that effect of almost a dry meadow edge. The immediate edge to the sidewalk and what, you know, most people will encounter as they're going by, it will be a mown, clean edge, just a lawn edge with shade trees planted along the entire frontage. So it's really a really robust, as Tom said before, a planting plan that has a number of layers to it. So it's not just the engineered looking basin that's a depression in the ground and mown grass throughout the whole thing. I think most people won't even necessarily recognize that it is a detention basin. It'll just kind of look like a rolled berm, and then it'll be kind of filled in on the backside with the planting. So it'll be fairly green and lush, and have pops of color. And really, a good amount of it will have seasonal interest throughout the year. We have winterberry, which has persistent berries. We have red stem dogwood, which has a really nice stem on it. The plant, when it has no leaves, flowering things, as I had said. So a lot of stuff that's going to be looking great all year round.
No, that's great. Thanks, Mike. Let's see. Maybe we should, rather than we don't want to just inundate you with you know, facts and figures. Is there particular questions of the commissioners that we might be able to answer?
Anybody have any questions?
Through the chair, Jeff Bray, wondering where the snow shelf is, if it's not here.
If you're referring, it's Tom Daly for the record. There is internal islands and other snow storage areas. Frankly, this is going to have a timber retaining wall, timber guide rail, a robust timber guide rail along the entire perimeter. So frankly, there won't be an opportunity for that plow to even push the snow into there. So they're going to have to stockpile and push it into the center islands and along the site, Hamilton Street. There's storage areas over there, so that's probably where it's going to go. And I think with any of these projects, if we get inundated with some of those big storm events, Jerome Home will have to maintain it by stockpiling it, digging it up, putting in a truck, and taking it offsite. But there'll be little opportunity to dump the snow into this and with all the plantings and the timber guide rail.
Right, that was a concern that with the shrubbery that you're proposing, that would get crushed.
You're right, and I think the timber guide rail gives us that protection that it won't get crushed. But you're right, normally a plow would dump it all on there. It was a good comment.
Okay. The other approach would be to make the berm large enough so that you don't see the parking so much from the street, and then place your storage within the berm where it's really concealed. I suppose our concern, based on last week's discussion, was that as a swale, it's likely to collect garbage and trash, and unless it's really well maintained, becomes kind of an eyesore for the neighborhood instead of a positive green space. Knowing that at the same time, cost savings is not something that you can get a variance for. Economics has nothing to do with variances. So it has to really rely on its own merits.
Right. If I can interject, Mike Carrier, I think what we have to, you know, we have to keep in mind the actual project itself is what we needed the variance and the special exception for, because the project itself is phenomenal. And we haven't even spoken, you know, we did speak to it when we got the initial approval as to what this is going to afford the community as far as the additional rooms and the new physical therapy area, and there might even be dining. I don't know if maybe Noah could speak to the actual, you know, what the actual project is about. This is, and then of course, the reason we're here is once they got a hard number on the project, it just wasn't doable. So you figure, okay, what can we do without? And this going from an underground system to the above ground system takes the least amount away from the overall project, and it makes the most sense. And from my, you know, as you all know, there's no, I can't think of a nicer, well-kept facility than the Jerome Home on Corbin. Like the way they maintain the grounds along Corbin Avenue and then down through Black Rock, I mean, that's all just now going to continue down through the rest of Black Rock down to Hamilton and then up Hamilton to the highway. So it's going to be a dramatic improvement to the overall look of the facility, especially on Black Rock. So I think there's the, you know, you can say, oh, you can't get a variance for a, you know, an economic reason, but this, we're talking about the entire project here, not just, you know, not just switching it over. I mean, the project is it's so worthwhile and so important that this is just one, in my opinion, I mean, one part of it. Yeah, but overall, it's going to be a home run for the city.
If I might add, Attorney Carrier, the modifications really don't affect the variance. So in a sense, the variance for the parking that extended within 25 feet of Hamilton Street doesn't change at all.
Right.
So in a sense, the matter of the hardship shouldn't be that big a deal in consideration of these changes.
This is MJ Wadsley. Is there a reason why you chose the location of the corner of Black Rock and Hamilton as opposed to the opposite corner, which would have been Hamilton and the highway?
Yes, for the record, Tom Daly, the entire site naturally flows towards this direction. So give you an example, up by the highway, you're up at elevation 225, and down at Black Rock, you're down at 207. So just naturally, all the water is coming towards this direction for us to hydraulically make it work.
it has to be situated at the lowest point of the site, and that's how this location was chosen.